Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right, like the dude just said. And yes, this is the New Talk powerhouse of North Alabama, and according to what we're reading in the rankings, this is the number one afternoon talk show across the northern part of the state, and we owe that to all of y'all. Thank you so much. It's an honor to have this platform. It's an honor to have this audience. Bunch of right side ruffians. Does me good. Well, listen, I got somebody coming on the show with us right now, somebody who I am especially fond of, a friend of mine, a guy named Scott Stantis. He's a nationally syndicated political cartoonist, which what kind of job is that? That is the coolest job in the world. He's been done, you know, a lot of feature work in the Chicago Tribune, but his work is everywhere, and you can find him online. Just check out his name, Scott Stantis, and you will find his work, and it's good stuff. He's also one of the few guys I know who can make a bow tie look cool. So my brother, Scott Stantis, how you doing?
I am doing great, Phil. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I hadn't heard your voice in too long.
No, COVID has taken a lot away from us, and that's part of it. So I'm back in the saddle, coming out of my hole. I see my shadow, good. And it's good things from now on.
What, is it going to be spring sooner? Is that what we hear, or what? I don't know.
Sure. I just good things. Whatever good thing is to you, that's what it's going to be.
All right. Well, good deal. Well, hey, Scott, I've been doing a segment here for the last...
Number one, by the way.
Oh, thank you, brother.
Congratulations on being number one, by the way. That's awesome.
Well, man, it's just crazy cool. And, the podcast is downloaded like 21,000 something times. And I don't know how to explain all this. I'm still freaking out they gave me a microphone, but, you know, I'm having a good time. So... praise God. I'm good. Hey, Scott, I've been doing a segment here for the last hour, really, on what happens when liberal politicians or liberal DAs, for that matter, just simply choose not to enforce the laws that are on the books. They almost create a sanctuary, in a sense, and they'll say, like in the instance of Mayor Woodfin of Birmingham that I've been in a dust-up with now for the last 24 hours, they'll say low-level crime. It's just criminal possession. It's not a big deal. We're trying to clean up people's lives. Well, you're creating, sort of the sanctuary for low-level stuff enhances the ability for high-level crime. But you lived in Chicago for a long time. Talk to me.
Yeah, listen, we've had this kind of problem in Chicago for a long, long time, and now it's exploded because for a myriad of reasons. You have terrible judges, which frankly is happening here in Alabama more and more. You have law enforcement that now feels like it's under attack, because it is, with the defund movement, which the liberals seem to embrace, which may be the dumbest thing I've ever heard, and that's a high bar. And then you have and then you have this whole idea that what they were trying to do in Chicago, they've done here in Birmingham. I can't speak to what they do up there in Madison County, but I know down here they try containment. Here's a terrible neighborhood, and we're just going to let the people shoot each other, and if we can contain it, then crime for the rest of the city is fine. Well, Chicago is the template for the rest of the nation. You can't contain it if you essentially say bad people, you pay no consequences for bad actions, and that is precisely what has happened in Chicago.
Wow. Wow. Well, I don't know if you saw it or not, though. The crazy thing is that Birmingham now outpaces Chicago in per capita murders, which I realize the numbers might be different, higher numbers, but it's a per capita thing, and that's a big deal.
That is a big deal, but Birmingham, they do have containment. I live in Birmingham. I moved back to Birmingham after I lived up in Chicago for 10 years. I love Birmingham, and I love Alabama, and what's happened, the numbers are different there than they are in Chicago. And firstly, the sheer numbers. I mean, I hope you're sitting down, Phil, because the sheer numbers are jaw-dropping in Chicago. You have, on average, between 50 and 70 shootings a weekend.
Yeah.
The weekend. And inevitably, there's a child involved. Inevitably, there's some poor guy who is just walking home from work. And gets in the middle of all this stuff. And it has expanded. Now, it's not just violent crime. It's not just murder in Chicago. What has also expanded is smash-and-grab crime. That is groups of mostly teenagers, go into stores, high-end jewelry stores, clothing stores, and they smash this stuff. Now, stay with me, Phil, because, again, I really hope you're sitting down for this one. The order to the police is, if they have stolen anything that has a value of $1,000 or less, don't stop them.
God
almighty. I am not making this up.
So they're literally saying under $1,000, you get a free pass.
Possible job.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can go in and say, let's say you see a watch that's a $700 watch. You can smash the glass, grab it, and the law enforcement police officers are told not to stop that criminal.
Well, I'll tell you, Scott. Let me jump in on that real quick. Let me jump in there real quick, Scott. I saw, and I think it was a similar policy in San Francisco, where they basically almost decriminalized theft under $1,000, and so it created the cottage industry. You know, druggies and tweakers, they'll walk in. They know exactly what they can steal and get away with. The stores just have to watch them walk out the door with merchandise. They go across the street to the fence who buys it from them on the spot and takes it and puts it on the internet and sells it. And they get drug money that way.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's awful.
That is, I mean, it's awful. And so when you don't enforce laws, I mean, Rudy Giuliani, when he was became mayor of New York City, started the smash glass way of enforcing law. That is, if there's a graffiti, if someone jaywalks, little crimes, if you get away with those, they just snowball into bigger and bigger crimes that people think they can get away with. So,
yeah, the broken windows theory, they called it.
So when it comes to Chicago particularly, I touched on judges briefly. They have judges who, I swear to God, Phil, these guys, they get their law degrees from a school that tells them to draw the pirate on the back of the match book, right? they are political appointments, and they're appointed with the idea that, A, we're not going to fill up the jails. Jails are already full. Law enforcement is skewed terribly towards the African-American community, so I'm not going to convict an African-American perpetrator. But with that, here's what happens, Phil, and excuse me if I get a little emotional, because every time I tell this story, it breaks my heart. Beautiful, there's a picture that comes across the Chicago Tribune website. Beautiful little boy, yes, a 9-year-old boy, who has been shot on the south side of Chicago. Well, it turns out that he was actually wooed into an alley and shot execution style.
Wow.
The guy who did this crime, this heinous crime, stood in front of a judge 5 times before this act on gun laws and violent crimes, charged, did not spend a single day in jail for those crimes until he was convicted of this.
Well, and we're seeing that elsewhere right now, Scott. I mean, headlines, here I am dinging Mayor Woodfin for pardoning 15,000 people back to the 1990s for low-level possession, but it's really not his right to do that in the broad blanket sense, because what he's doing is undermining existing law. But we're seeing that, like you're talking about in Chicago, we're seeing that in other places. There's this awful crime of this beautiful young lady who was working the night shift. She's a grad student trying to earn money for school, working at this furniture store. And this guy with, I want to say they have like a rap sheet that's 10 years long. They've put up on Fox a while ago, they put up over 12 mugshots of him. He's out on low-level bond for a high-level crime. He walked in off the street for no reason and just stabbed her. And then went on his way and bought something at the dime store down the road. So
unbelievable.
It's a mess.
No, in Chicago and in Illinois, they're getting rid of bonds. I mean, they're getting... So, you know, I don't know. Yep. I don't know where this is supposed to go. It's, I mean, crime is crime, and you should, if you commit one, you have to be thrown in jail.
Well, and that's exactly right. And if you don't like the laws, you go change the laws. You don't not enforce them. That's the big part that angers me. As a former legislator, you know, the legislature has the act of passing laws as part of their job. The executives or the other elected officials, their job is to uphold and enforce those laws. Hey, Scott, listen, man, we got to take a break. Can you hang on through the break?
Yeah.
I want to finish up when we get back from this. Is that good with you?
All right. Great.
We're on with Scott Stantis, syndicated cartoonist, who does have opinions, by the way. and spent many years in major cities like Chicago and Birmingham and others, and actually knows what he's talking about. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here on Right Side Radio. And like we like to say, solid conservative, and just plain right. Going back to the phones right now, my buddy Scott Stantis, nationally syndicated political cartoonist extraordinaire with opinions of his own. Hey, Scott, let me ask you this, man. I saw a recent one of your cartoons for the Tribune that dealt with the Chicago Teachers Union shutting down schools, and it basically questioned priorities. And what are you seeing with that, and how do you relate that to where we are in Alabama?
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, we don't have a teachers union that's overbearing or cumbersome or, you know, abusive of power in any way.
No, not here, not in Alabama.
The teachers union in Chicago, CTU, Chicago Teachers Union, is run by, and Phil, I'm not making this up, it's run by a guy who's a self-avowed socialist. So
I have no doubt.
They don't care about the kids. I mean, the teachers unions are there to represent the teachers' interests, and that makes sense. I hate public, I genuinely have a profound disdain for public unions, and especially teachers' unions, especially makes my blood boil when they say things like, it's for the kids. Well, Phil, I never heard a kid say, you know, I don't want teacher to pay more for her benefits. I've never heard a student say, I want my teacher to be guaranteed a 15% raise. I've never heard a student say that. Maybe I just went to the schools. I don't know. But that's, they have so corroded in the education system in Chicago at the schools. There are some that are superb, some of the best public schools in the country, but so many of them are just dismal and awful failures, and there's no way to fix that because, you know, guess what? Democrat state, there's never going to be school choice, as there should be in Alabama. I think we're working towards that, hopefully. But, the teachers' unions, the Chicago Teachers' Union is genuinely, profoundly, and significantly evil. End of sentence.
Well, you know, I don't mind you saying that either, because I have said that about the teachers union in Alabama. That, and I and by the way, I don't use that, and I know you don't either. I don't use that word lightly. If, to call something evil, when you understand what evil is a, that's a step up in your, you know, your monologue. And I would suggest that. And I saw it, man, when I got elected in 2010, I within a short amount of time, I said, man, the teachers union in Alabama is the most evil organization I have ever come across. It is there for all the wrong reasons, and it is tearing the state apart. And it was absolutely. And people don't think that they're not trying to gain influence. They still are.
When I first moved to Alabama in 1996, the teachers union was a very powerful entity then, but it was a very democratic state, which I know it sounds shocking to to us today, yeah. But back then it was, the Democratic Party was by far and away the dominant party in the state. And so they gave money to Democrats, continued to do that even during the transition from Democrat to Republican control of both the House and Senate and the governor's mansion. But even then they kept giving money to Democrats. But now, Phil, you can tell me more than anyone else. That money now is going to Republicans as well, is it not?
Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. I think somebody said recently, and I believe it, that there's something like 40% of all of our elected Republican officials have taken money from the teachers union this year in Alabama.
Good Lord! And I'm sure they did it for the kids. Am I right?
Well, certainly. And that may account also for why we couldn't get a single, even a low-level school choice bill passed in the last year. Couldn't even get them out of committee. It was galling. But yeah, I mean, it's the teachers union has an insidious means of working its way back into influence. And And we pretty much emasculated them in 2011 through about 14, and put them back in their, you know, more proper place, which is, you know, go take care of your members. Stop influencing politics at every single level. But they're working their way back right now, and the latest folks in the legislature seem to be allowing it to happen more than anything.
Well, someone hands you a big check, I suspect you're going to say yes. You know, school choice, think about the options the joyous option that this gives to parents, that if you are concerned with your child's well-being, if you want them to perform better, if you want them to have a better life, this is a simple act that they could hand to these parents, and they won't because they got a big check from the AEA. And there's something very wrong with that. Very, very wrong.
There is. And, you know, I've also been a member of the State Executive Committee for the Republican Party, and it's been a policy. In fact, I think it's still a policy in writing that the state party encourages all of its elected officials not to take money from the AEA. And but that's just one of those things. Listen, Scott, as we come down to the end of our segment here, let me ask you this. If folks want to find you, if they want to see your work, where can they find you?
They can go to gocomics.com/Scott Stantis, one word, or gocomics.com/Prickly City, which is my comic strip. They can go to chicagotribune.com and go to the opinion section where there's a gallery of my work. And now I just started doing some more work for the Alabama Policy Institute. So I think they're going to post a question of mine tomorrow.
Yeah, which is what caught my attention last night on email. So, all right, brother. Well, listen, I appreciate you, and I look forward to having you on. We need to do this more often, and I will have you on again sometime soon. But you take care, man.
All right, my friend, take care.
All right, that's Scott Stantis, nationally syndicated political cartoonist. His work is pretty incredible, by the way, and you need to check it out. Literally, the Alabama Policy Institute, 1819 News, very likely you're going to wind up seeing his work here at the local level. But he has that comic strip zone called Prickly City, which is actually pretty cool. So just Google Prickly City and you'll find Scott Stantis that way also. Political commentary in one picture. Sometimes it's amazing that a picture can indeed say more than 1,000 words. And he's got a gift for putting ink to paper and in one sketch tell you a whole lot. That's just kind of a cool job. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Coming up after the break, one of my favorite moments, Copper's Corner. We'll be right back.